Hello, and welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your prescription for happier, healthier homeschooling. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six. Let's get started. Hey, homeschoolers. The episodes and the talks I have done on anger have been some of the most popular, and with good reason. Having a problem with anger is very discouraging to us as Christian parents. I know that from experience. Before I introduce my guest for today's podcast, I want to share the sponsor for this episode, the Anger Antidote for Christian Homeschoolers class. This class that was once only available to attendees of great homeschool conventions is now available online. You'll receive a video recorded class plus worksheets that will allow you to take action on what you learn. My heart's desire is that every parent who struggles in this area can take advantage of the class, so I am charging just $7 for it. Learn more at grammargalaxybooks.com/shop and click the classes button. Now, to introduce Brooke Wayne, wife of Israel Wayne, who spoke with me 2 weeks ago about Christian parenting. I love how real this mother of many is on the issue of parental anger. I know you'll benefit from her words of wisdom.
Brooke, thank you so much for joining me here on the Homeschool Sanity Show. I know I just had your husband on the show, and he told us some about your family, but I would love to hear your perspective. Tell us a little bit more about you and your family.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. I so appreciate you having me on this show. Well, I was homeschooled as a child, and my parents started when I was five in 1983, so I had that experience of being a homeschooled student myself. And now together, my husband and I, Israel, have 10 children, and they range in age from almost 20 down to a 14-month-old. So we feel like we've got one of every size and age.
Well, that is great. Well, today we're going to talk about anger, and that is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, not only because of my own personal experience, but because I find that it is such a difficult thing for so many parents. You know, we have these visions, at least I did, that, you know, everything's just going to go perfect when you start homeschooling and your children are going to do exactly what you want them to do.
Right.
There won't be any reason to be angry. But of course, we quickly discover that that's not the case. What inspired you in particular to address the topic of anger and parenting?
Well, I think for myself, it was kind of funny when my friends would hear we were working on that project, the book Pitch and a Fit, because they're like, well, you never lose your cool and you're really laid back and you seem like such a patient person. And I was like, well, you know, I had always thought I was a patient person. And like, I can handle this. I came from a family with just one brother. So it's just the four of us. And having a large family has been quite a change. Now, I really wanted a large family and love having a large family. But it's definitely given me a run for my money, so to speak. And just how I feel that the pressures that I didn't know about, I didn't know how to handle, became such an issue for me that I found that I was lashing out at my children, you know, from young ages with anger because they didn't conform to what I wanted. They didn't give me that beautiful picture of we're going to go homeschool in a field with daisies and it's going to be wonderful. So yeah, real life hit.
Yes, boy, I think, you know, I'm surprised that you had that image since you were homeschooled yourself.
Yes.
You know, I would think that you would know, yes, that's not a realistic image, but apparently you still had some hopes and dreams of what it would look like.
Right, right. Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to have it be just so. And you know, my mom and dad did a great job, but again, they didn't have some of the stresses that I have. And I think that contributed.
Okay. All right. Well, very good. Well, in your book, Pitching a Fit, you say that anger is like cancer. That's a scary word. Can you explain why you feel that anger is such a threat to a family?
Yes. You know, a lot of a lot of times anger happens behind closed doors, and we put up a front to others of being peaceable and talking kindly. And sometimes when we're in our own home and we're dealing with that stress of a child maybe not performing to how they should or how we would wish they would, and we start lashing out to our families with this anger, and we sometimes excuse it because it's like, oh, it's a normal response to what's happening. It's a normal feeling that I have, and we just condone it a little bit. We say it's okay, and just like cancer takes just a couple cells to when it takes place in the body, and then anchors into a spot and grows and grows and multiplies. Anger is like that. It can be just these little implements that we have of when we say, oh, it's okay for me to act out in anger in this situation because my child pushed my buttons and made me do this. And we let that grow and grow. And of course, from our children's perspective on the receiving end of our anger, there's a lot of bitterness that grows. And we all know how bitterness just can grow and become out of control. And so that's why I liken it to cancer, because it really can start very small, but undealt with, you know, without going to it with basically an axe to the root of bitterness and anger, we allow it to just fester and become this sore spot.
All right. Well, I think that's an excellent analogy. So what do you think some of those dangers are of sowing the seeds of anger in a child's life? So, you know, we excuse our own anger and we are expressing it in a sinful way and it's affecting our child. What can grow out of that?
Sure. You know, a lot of times for children, we think if we talk louder, that our children are going to listen to us. And I am so much to blame for that in different parts of my life, thinking, okay, I want my children to learn. It's really important that they learn and that they listen and all that. So I'm just going to talk louder. And what happens most of the time is they start tuning us out. Mm-hmm. And of course, that encourages us as parents to just talk louder and raise the volume and add a little bit of more oomph to it. And what happens then is we lose our children's hearing. Now, at first this is like, okay, well, we just have disobedient children or whatnot. But what happens is we lose their ear for hearing the gospel. And that's where I feel the major problem comes in, because as Christians, our goal needs to be pass on this message of Christ and what he's done for us. And if we're not able to even gain their ear because we've helped them tune out because of our yelling or our anger, we're losing that ear for the gospel. In them, like I mentioned, it creates this time for bitterness to grow. And, you know, they're young. They don't know how to deal with these things. And yes, they're going to have bumps in their life from other people outside of mom and dad that maybe respond to them badly, and they need to learn how to work through their own reaction. But as children in our homes, we're supposed to be providing that safety net. They don't know how to work through our anger, you know. Sometimes we feel like that too as moms and dads. We don't know how to work through our own anger, but our children definitely don't. And if we're allowing this culture to happen where mom and dad are angry towards our children, then that bitterness grows up and it really brings a lot of problems for our family. Josh McDowell, there we go, has a quote that I really think applies to this. He says that rules without relationship breed rejection. And I find that so true as I watch families and just see, you know, things that I've gone, okay, I need to curb my ways of how I've behaved so that I bring about an opportunity to share the gospel with my children.
That's excellent. I love that quote too. Well, in your book, you offer this great hope. God is in the business of turning us worn out, tired, stressed, and even angry parents into ones filled with self-control. Can you talk to us about how God has done that for you?
Well, sure. You know, it started really my journey in understanding that I was an angry person, which, you know, like I said, that wasn't who I defined myself as, and that's not even who other people would have defined me as. But I knew that there was something happening in my responses to my oldest, who was at that time just 6 years old. So, you know, we're talking little. But I remember this point where I had about four children at that time. I was washing the dishes, and had put little ones to bed. And so, you know how it is, you like, I want the house quiet. And he was explaining about all this loud stuff of what he's going to do and how he wants to go outside and how he really needs to convince me that his ways are the best. And I just realized I am so upset because he wouldn't respond to my simple no in the way I wanted him to and the way he should have, frankly. But it was my problem of feeling like, I'm getting angry because you, little child, are pushing my buttons. You are the one who is responsible for my anger. And I started saying something I thought I'd never say. And I was like, you are making me lose my temper. And I never wanted to say that. I never wanted to be that kind of person. And here it was overcoming me. And so that started a journey where I realized that this is bigger than I am. And if I don't get some sort of help in this, I'm going to become a very angry mom that my children want to get away from. And so I started seeking the Lord about it and just realizing I've got a problem and the Lord is able to take care of this. He's able to help me with this and work in me. And, you know, I know as people, we need to be willing to work with the Lord in that capacity. We need to avail ourselves of every grace he gives us, every instruction he gives us in his word, or just through the encouragement of others. But this is something that he also desires. And as I looked into just seeing, patience is listed as a fruit of the Spirit. Now, to be honest, the word patience has always kind of rubbed me wrong. It sounds so dull. And I think of patience like this. You're at a Christian bookstore, which, you know, sadly is a thing of the past anymore almost. But you're at a Christian bookstore, and there's this plaque on the wall, and it says patience in real scripty little font. And then there's this field, and there's butterflies and stuff. And I always was like, okay, but that's not me. That's not my life. Like, I can put that on my wall, but it doesn't do anything for me. And yet, God talks about patience is a fruit of the Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit's not weak. It's right. Not like that little picture of how I just, you know, it just seems so tame. You know, my life is like the boiling pot. And it's it's exciting and it's a party and it's chaotic sometimes. And so I realized, just thinking about my view of patience was weak as well. And God wants to do this powerful work in each of us to bring about patience by an act that he does within us. And so that was my igniting point of looking into, okay, God, if this is something you have and it's powerful, I want it. And that was my journey.
I love that. You know, really, patience is so much more powerful than just letting your anger out and just venting, you know, because it requires so much more. Well, I was going to say it requires so much more self-control, but I think it really and truly requires so much more power of the Holy Spirit to evidence that in our lives. You know, it's the flesh that is producing the venting, the yelling and all of that. And so, of course, patience is so much more powerful because it's of God. So I love that. I love that description that you just gave us. Well, many parents would be completely overwhelmed, honestly, Brooke, by the responsibilities involved in parenting 10 children. That's a lot, even for me, and I have 6. So we would love to hear more about your own challenges with stress and anger and how you have been able to employ biblical principles in your response to the stressful moments that you have just in your home and life.
Sure. Yep. So let me just say that, first of all, thankfully, those children only come one or, you know, we never had twins, but, you know, one or two at a time, basically. And so there's an adjustment that happens, and God does give grace. I mean, I just look back and I'm so amazed. And like I said, right now, having a 14-month-old, it's so much easier when I have teenagers that help make dinner, help watch him for a little bit. You know, I can actually like go to the grocery store by myself sometimes. So life is not full of 10 toddlers. It's young people, and it's some, you know, middle-aged children. Then toddler's still there, sticking things in the toilet every day, but we're learning.
That's great. I love it.
But, you know, I have come to the conclusion that what we need to do with our children in passing on to them just valuable things about life, but also things about the Lord, is we need to have him doing it. And a lot of times we get so involved in the process, and we're so, you know, especially as homeschool families, we're so intrinsically involved in every aspect that we want to start controlling the whole thing. And I wanted to shape my children. You know, sometimes I still find myself, I want to shape them. I want them to take what I am saying and believe it and act on it. And I have to realize that what God did in me and that work he wants to do in me, he wants to also do in my children. I'm just a conduit for his message going forth to my children. And I need to be a good vessel. And so the verse in James 1:19 really, really transformed my life, where it says that man's anger cannot accomplish the righteousness of God. And, you know, frankly, I wanted to see righteousness in my children. Like, I want to see it just part of their DNA. I want it in them. And I want them to breathe the gospel. And yet, I had these little sinners in my home. And so I started applying this angst and this anger and frustration in my attempts to bring about God's righteousness. So, you know, that verse, just James 1:19 again, it's just so foundational for my life. Really changed me.
Mm-hmm. And I really had a similar revelation with that concept that I learned from Dr. S.M. Davis. I listened to an audio tape of his where, you know, he talked about the fact that our anger can't be righteous because of our own sinful desires. And that even if we think that we're, you know, zealous for the Lord's righteousness, it's probably more based on our own, you know, pride and desire for control than anything else. And that was really life-changing for me too. But by the same token, I realized, as you've expressed, that I wasn't able to change my own anger. I thought that I could. I thought that if I just memorized enough scripture and I just prayed hard enough and I read enough books and if I even would teach other people that I would learn it. But that isn't how it happened for me. And I was sharing that with your husband as well. So I think it's such an important message, and it's such a burden lifter too, isn't it?
Yeah.
To realize that, you know, I don't have to just keep trying harder.
Yes.
To be a patient person, because that actually backfires. I don't know. It does.
If you experience that.
It's like the more determined I am to be patient, the faster I'm yelling.
Right.
So, what do you think, given what we've just discussed, what do you think one of the most important steps a parent can take to live free from the tyranny of anger and stress in parenting?
Yeah. You know, honestly, this sounds like such a cliche thing to say, but I truly mean it. We need more time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard to take as a parent. And I get that. But I think sometimes we just think that we have this full cup to give to our children. And it's easy to fill it up with good things that, you know, even like just restful things, you know, trying to get more, like for me, a lot of it is, I was trying so hard in years ago, I still am trying, but years ago, I was just really into organization. I thought this is going to be the key to conquering my stress. And I read like every single book I could possibly find about organization, read it twice, you know, just to make sure that I got it. And you know what? It's like it helped get some things manageable, but it didn't seep in deep enough. And it wasn't strong enough to change who I am in the inside. Mm-hmm. And so I came across this quote by a gal named Holly Eliff that what our family, and I'm not going to say it perfectly because I don't remember it, but just the paraphrase is what we need, what our families need from us is not a better organized home or a better curriculum or, you know, fancier meals or Pinterest birthday parties. What they need is more Jesus in us.
Mm.
And that just blew me away, because I had kind of, you know, subconsciously really been thinking, if I get my home in order and my schedule in order, then I will be this great mom. Mm. And really, it's Jesus doing something inside of me. Now, how organization helps, having a curriculum in place helps, having a plan in place helps, having, you know, just some sleep at night helps. Mm-hmm. All those things are great. But when it comes down to it, I get bumped, just like Amy Carmichael says in her famous quote about, if you have a cup full of sweet tea and you're bumped, what will come out is sweet tea. And I think that's so much like us with homeschooling and having large families and having small families, having children, having a husband, is if we get bumped, and that's always going to happen to us, if we get bumped, what comes out of us is what's inside. And that's painful sometimes when we start seeing bump stuff come out. We're like, no, I didn't want that out. You can't pick up your words off the floor like we wish. You can't mop it up. But going back and saying, okay, what I need to do is I need to go to the Lord and I need to repent of this. And oh, that hurts. But that's where cleansing comes from. And for myself, I had kind of developed some sort of silly thing that when I would go to the Lord and repent about these things, I would be like, okay, I have really lost it. And now I'm like, I am totally humbled here. I'm starting out on rung one again. And I'd have a big, you know, just a yucky face on my calendar just to mark that day in history. And it's like, you know what? That's not what God's calling us to do, is to just grovel in our sin and just say, oh yeah, you really are a skunk because you blew it. You know, we think so highly of ourselves that we're shocked when we blow it. Yet we're these sinful creatures that the Lord is transforming. Thankfully, He's cleansing us.
Right.
But He doesn't have that desire for us to now just put our face in the mud because of it. You know, it's like, repent, yes. Repent with tears is necessary. Repent before your family is necessary. But then get up and go forth in the joy of the Lord. Because when we're looking to Him to supply that chain, so to speak, of patience, I really believe that He'll work in us, and we'll be more in tune to Him for our need for Him to work that patience in us.
Right. That is so good. Well, I have a question for you about that. More time with God. I speak with so many moms who have smaller families than you and I do, and they still find it so difficult to make that time to be quiet before the Lord because of, you know, their family's needs and the age of their children, or maybe, you know, their husband works away from the home, maybe even for extended periods of time. I mean, what do you say to moms who are struggling to find that?
Yeah, I just encourage you, get it in any way you can. And, you know, different seasons look different. I've had times where it really is just a challenge to get a couple verses in. And that's just part of life with toddlers and babies and then needy children and talkative teenagers who stay up late at night. You know, we've got these limitations on our time for sure. And I think we need not to guilt trip ourselves into thinking it's got to look like this over here. It's got to look like a women's Bible study with all the notes filled out and, you know, 10 pages of special word study and so forth. It might look like a little bit, but I think we need to focus not so much on having a feast in the word as much as getting food, you know, getting some of it, getting what we can. So one of the things I do is, you know, with technology, it's just so easy for me to use my phone to listen to the reading of the scripture. And so I have one of those plans where you just push play and it plays like four chapters a day. And I partly do it because I think it's funny how my children think that I'm playing games all day on my phone. Like whenever they see me on my phone, what game are you playing? And I have actually taken off all games. So it's like, there's nothing there. And they hear me listening to it, you know, and you know, I love that picture of actually having the open Bible and my children being able to see that. But in daily life, sometimes they see me, they hear what I'm listening to as well. And it's just a message to them that mom's getting some of the word in her. So that's one way we do it. Another thing that we do as a family is just trying to gather everybody every day and do some scripture study. Sometimes we'll do, you know, like reading we were into some Christmas sermons a while back. It went way past January, so it took us a while. But mm-hmm. that was kind of fun to do something different like that. Mm-hmm. And different videos that we'll find we'll do. So just breaking up has helped of having our family time focus mm-hmm. on something of the scriptures as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's very good. Very, very helpful. I love that. Well, you have a roadmap to freedom for angry, stressed, and overwhelmed parents. Can you give us an idea of what that looks like? I would love to hear it.
Yeah, you know, we developed this as we wrote our book because we just felt like we need to have something that kind of consolidates, since there's so much out there mm-hmm. about how to deal with anger, and it can go from anything that's goofy to something that's, you know, just overly harsh. And so we just wanted to consolidate some thoughts. So I'm just going to go ahead and read these. Okay. Number one, evaluate where you are on the anger spectrum. You know, this is being honest with ourselves. Am I slightly irritated and frustrated, or am I blown out, angry, and wrathful? Number two, recognize your need to change and your inability to do it on your own. I think this is where a lot of us trip up, because we're like, okay, I fell down, but I'm gonna beat this. And it's like, well, not on our own. We're not gonna beat it on our own. Three, ask God to forgive you and change your heart. Four, believe that God can and will change you. Five, saturate your mind in God's word. Memorize it and apply it. Number six, recognize your anger triggers. Now, this is something that we talk about, is just as far as recognizing what maybe triggers your anger throughout your regular day. You know, whether that's drinking too much coffee makes you jittery, or every time you go to talk with a certain child about leaving their socks on the floor, that's your anger point. Just being able to recognize it so that you have the one up on it, knowing, okay, I'm going to go with this and I'm not going to deal with it the same way or let that situation wash over me. Number seven, confess and repent every time you blow it. Eight, strategically practice speaking words of encouragement to others. It will help to rewire your brain with thoughts of gratitude rather than bitterness and anger. Nine, it generally takes 30 days to create a new habit. Disrupt your old patterns and intentionally replace them with new ones. 10, be willing to seek accountability and prayer support from others. 11, journal your progress and setbacks. This will give you perspective over time. And 12, tenaciously guard your time, your daily time alone with Jesus, and don't neglect your spiritual disciplines. Again, I think that goes back to just realizing we're not going to conquer this on our own. We mm-hmm. truly need the Lord's work, the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, to do something in us about this.
Absolutely. Oh, that's really, really excellent. I love that. So I noticed that you talked about, you know, practice affirming and speaking positively. You know, I think even when we're disciplining our children, it's not enough just to tell a child what not to do. You know, what you did right there is wrong, but we also need to say, this is what I want you to do, and let's practice doing that. And so can you talk about how can we, even as we are disciplining, because I find that a lot of parents struggle not to get angry when disciplining, you know? Yes. How can we both correct a child and affirm a child at the same time?
Yeah. You know, it's getting rid of a habit is so, so hard. And I've heard from other habit studies that we need to get rid of, when we get rid of our old habit, we have to replace it with something else. Otherwise, you're just left basically with empty space. And, you know, when we're dealing with our children and the anger is directed towards our children, we have that habit in place. We can't just like not talk to them. We can't just stop directing them or even correcting them, which is, of course, I think the biggest anger trigger of all when our mm-hmm. children are misbehaving.
Right.
It's like, okay. You know, we need to replace it. And I feel like that dull word that I mentioned before, patience, is the key of what we need to replace it, our anger with. It's a much more powerful mechanism for drawing our children to want to be with us and want to listen to us. And so when I talk about correcting the child and affirming them at the same time, it looks something like this. Because I don't want to affirm my child in their bad behavior. Mm-hmm. But I want to let them know, I am for you. And let's just say we're talking about lying. You know,
okay.
I want to communicate when I'm correcting my child, and maybe in the follow-up things that happen as well. But when I'm correcting them, I want to communicate, I love you. And I'm bringing this out, you know, this difficult conversation and this correction because I love you. I cannot let you go down this path. It will lead you into greater and greater sin and give you separation from the Lord. And so I love you, but I'm for you. I want to see you conquer this habit, you know, their habit of lying, say. Mm-hmm. And I want to see the Lord Jesus work through you in this situation. And I do that a lot of times by not standing far away from my child, because when my tendency is, if they've done something wrong, I mean, this is totally subconscious, but if they've done something wrong, it's so easy to be like, you stand on the other side of the room and I want to be away from you. And I will yell because obviously I'm 20 feet away. So it's just mm-hmm. kind of natural to raise our voice. Hmm. So I intentionally go over and I go close to them and talk softly. And that's a self-control thing for me, right? But it also helps them listen in a little bit better because they're having to, you know, they're having to kind of calm themselves. So what is she saying? Mm-hmm. And I find that helps. But then a lot of times, if we're sitting down, just put my arm around that child just to communicate to them, I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm not doing this because I'm personally irritated at you, mm-hmm. which is a lot of where we reflect. You know, it just seems like we're communicating that to our children when we express our correction with anger. And a lot of times I think, you know, we almost feel like that, right? They mm-hmm. broke the dish, they smashed it, they hit their brother, and we take it as this personal offense. And they're like, okay, you know, that's not big enough for them. You know, mm-hmm. kind of wish it was, right? But that's not big enough reason for them to change themselves or mm-hmm. to look to the Lord for change. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the ways that I just do that. And just talking to them, you know, you have so much potential in your life to affect good in this world, mm-hmm. but you're not going to be able to accomplish that by lying. And just bring about what that lying spirit will do for them and what a truthful spirit will do for them. Mm-hmm. And just calling them to life, choose life.
Right. And so I just want to point out something that might be kind of obvious, but apparently you've had a child who's lied before or hit a sibling before. Yeah. I can't believe it. Yeah. You know, a lot of times other homeschooling families look at parents like us who do some, you know, mentoring of other families, and they incorrectly assume that our kids are perfect or that we're perfect in our parenting of them. And that could not be further from the truth. Even though I don't know you very well, Brooke, I know that that's just not the case because we're all sinners raising sinners, aren't we?
It sure is true.
Yes. But we all also have the power of the Holy Spirit to redeem us, redeem our parenting, and redeem our children. And that is what is so exciting. You know, when we believe that and trust in that, I think things can turn around dramatically. And our kids pick up from us that we believe that as well. So you know, even as you were sharing that, you know, I know that you can overcome this. And, you know, God is going to use all the gifts that He's given you for good in this world. It is amazing how powerful that is.
It's so true.
Yes. Well, this was so good, Brooke. I think this is one of those things where, you know, I don't regret all the reading that I did on anger, all the scripture memory I did on anger, because I do believe that the Holy Spirit, he's kind of like the activator for all these ingredients, you know, it's like the eggs that binds them all together in the recipe. And so I think it's always good for us to get a reminder about these things. And I'm so grateful that you took the time to share this with us. Now, tell us the name of your book again, where we can find it, and how our listeners can connect with you.
Sure. Thank you. So the name of this book is called Pitching a Fit. And it's so fun because as we talk to people, they always think that it's directed towards angry children. And we're like, well, no, it's to the parents, actually. So the title is Pitching a Fit, Overcoming Angry and Stressed Out Parenting, because it doesn't deal with just the anger side. It also deals with just being stressed out and frustrated, which, you know, that's just part of our parenting experience. It's kind of ingrained into it. And so we want to bring a lot of encouragement for families in this book. You know, both my husband and I wrote it together. And it was a fun experience because we have very different perspectives as far as anger. Like, anger was something I did not really deal with until I was in my 20s with little children. And for him, he talks about his experience being in the home with a stepdad who was very physically abusive. Mm-hmm. So he had this model of anger, and he knew, that's not what I want. And going from an angry teen to seeing the Lord work through him. Mm-hmm. So anyways, the book is called Pitching a Fit. And we have it on our website. It's familyrenewal.org/store. It's familyrenewal.org/store. And we just encourage you to buy it from us because we actually make a little bit off of it versus off of Amazon where it's about 50 cents or something like that.
Yeah.
So we'd encourage you to buy from us. But also you can reach us at our, we have a Facebook Family Renewal. That's just a great way to connect with us on right there. And also, I have my own personal page, Brooke Wayne. So, you know, I'm open to having questions come my way. Just give me a little grace because I'm very busy in the real life world too.
Absolutely. Of course you are. Well, this was wonderful. And I will put the links where you can connect with Brooke in the show notes for this episode. Brooke, thank you so much again for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. I really appreciate it.
To find the links mentioned in this episode, go to homeschoolsanity.com/stillangry. Join me next week as my guest and I discuss homeschooling with a broken spirit. Have a happy homeschool week. Thank you for joining me. Happy, healthy homeschooling can be yours. It begins with one small step. Let's continue the conversation on social media. I'm at PsychoWith6. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.